From Spark and Anvil and ChemQuest, this is Nitra in Chapter 1 of the ChemQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
In the far corner of the ChemQuest courtyard, where the morning wind came hardest off the hill, a small tortoise tween named Nitra sat with her arms locked around another tortoise exactly like herself, and the whole of the world's patience seemed to be holding still around the two of them. It was not a hug. A hug can be shrugged off. This was three separate holds, one arm wound over another and a third crossing both, cinched so tight that the two tortoises had stopped being two things and become one steady, breathing lump in the grass. All morning, the wind had leaned on them and failed. A loose gang of hydrogens had swept past twice, trying to peel one of them off to play, and got nowhere. Even Oxy had drifted close, murmuring an offer to trade places, and been ignored. The pair only breathed, slow, unbothered, and held on. A younger tortoise flopped down beside them, panting from chasing everyone else across the yard. "You two have been knotted up like that since sunrise," he said. "Doesn't it hurt? Don't your arms give out?" "Hurt isn't the word," Nitra said, without opening her eyes. "Locked is the word. Three grips. Go on, try to pull us loose." He did. He seized one of her arms and hauled. Nothing. He set a foot against the ground and threw his whole weight backward, and the knot of them barely rocked, then settled again like a stone shifting a hair in a riverbed. He sat down hard, defeated. Nitra cracked one eye, amused. "It'd take a lightning bolt to break this," she said. "Or one very patient little creature living in the roots of a bean plant, working at it for days. Nothing gentler than that gets me to let go." She drew a slow breath and settled deeper into the hold. "That's the plain truth of me. I am slow to take hold of anything at all, but once I do, three arms, everything I have, I do not come apart."
Nitra had not always understood that the slowness was the strength. As a small cub, she had only felt the slowness and hated it. Her family were the deliberation keepers of their village, the tortoises who attended every council, heard out every side of every argument, and refused to speak until they were entirely sure. It was honorable work. It was also, to a young cub, unbearable. The other children bonded in an afternoon. They met, they liked each other, they traded and swapped and moved on to someone new by the next morning, easy as breathing. Nitra couldn't do it. She held back and held back, weighing everyone twice, and by the time she felt ready to reach for anyone, they had all long since paired off without her. She was the leftover. Worse than leftover. She felt wrong, as though being slow to warm was a crack running straight through the middle of her. Her grandmother found her one evening folded up under the porch, chin tucked into her shell. "You feel too slow, don't you?" her grandmother said. It wasn't a question. "Like the whole village bonded in a day and you got left standing in the yard." Nitra managed a small, miserable nod. "Then listen carefully, because I will only tell you once." Her grandmother lowered herself down onto the step with the enormous care of the very old. "Those fast bonds, the friendships struck in an afternoon, a great many of them come apart just as fast. One hard wind and they're scattered. But when you finally take hold of something..." She reached out and tapped the three navy stripes banded across Nitra's chest. 1, 2, 3. "You take hold with all of yourself, and it stays. Slow to reach is not the same as broken, little one. It is the price of a grip that will never once slip." Nitra made no friend that night, but something under the porch turned over. The left-out feeling stopped meaning too slow and began, very quietly, to mean worth the wait. When at last she did make a friend, a full season later, and only after she was certain, that friendship held for the rest of her life. By the time she was 6, she carried the family secret in her own body, slow to engage, unbreakable once engaged. The strength lived inside the slowness. It had never been in spite of it.
She walked up to the ChemQuest Academy at the age of 22, and Beaker met her at the gate with the single question he asked every arrival. "What is nitrogen?" Nitra did not rush. She never rushed. She looked slowly around the courtyard until she found another Nitrogen dozing against a wall, crossed the yard, and locked arms with them. One grip, two, three, wound tight, before turning back to face Beaker as a single solid knot of two. "This," she said, "is nearly the whole of the air you are standing in. Close to four of every five breaths you take is two of us holding on exactly like this, three arms apiece. And we do not join in with anything around us, not the fire, not the rush of chemistry crossing the yard, not even the inside of your own lungs, for one reason only. You cannot make us let go. It takes a bolt of lightning, or the slow, patient work of root bacteria, or the roaring heat of a great factory, to pry this grip apart." She loosened her hold at last and stepped back so the other tortoise could wander off. "But once something does break me open, and I take a new hold, with hydrogen or with carbon, I lock in every bit as hard. That is why proteins hold their shape. That is why the code written inside you lasts for decades without smearing. Three arms, slow to grab, certain to hold." Baker watched the knot come apart only because Nitra had chosen to release it. "You belong here," he said.
Nitra's workshop was the calmest room in the academy, because nothing in it could be hurried. Least of all, Nitra. A girl came in one gray afternoon, near to tears. She had spent the whole morning trying to build a protein, and it kept sagging apart in her hands. "Everyone else's snaps together in a second," she said, dropping onto a stool. "Mine just droops and falls to bits. I think I'm too slow at this. I think I'm just bad at it." Nitra knew that feeling down to its roots, the left-behind ache, the certainty that something in you is cracked. She had carried it herself, once, under a porch. "Come here," she said, unhurried. "Show me where it's giving way." The girl spread out her half-built chain across the bench, a row of carbons, a scatter of oxygens and hydrogens, drooping badly at every joint. "There," Nitra said, and set a claw against a sagging seam. "You've built links with no lock in them. Watch." She stepped into the gap herself, reached one arm across to the carbon on the far side, and pinned it, hard. The seam snapped rigid. She moved to the next weak point and did the same, and the next, planting one nitrogen firmly into each failing joint, until the whole chain stopped drooping and stood up on its own, bearing its own weight without a tremble. "That is a peptide bond," she said. "Carbon on one side, me on the other, gripped tight and unwilling to slide. String enough of those together and you have a protein that will not sag, the kind that builds a muscle, or carries air through your blood, or simply lasts long enough to have been worth the building." She tapped one locked joint. "And the reason it holds is not that I am eager. I am the very opposite of eager. It holds because when I finally do take my grip, I take it with everything I have." The girl pressed both thumbs into the chain. It didn't budge. "So it works because it's slow?" "It lasts because it's slow," Nitra said. "In the end, those are the same thing."
Later, when the workshop had emptied and the light through the window had gone to amber, the girl came back with one last question, quieter than the rest. "All that time you spend waiting," she said, "not bonding, not joining in with everyone. Doesn't it get lonely? Don't you feel like you're missing the whole thing?" Nitra thought about the porch and the leftover feeling and the slow, warm gravel of her grandmother's voice. "It used to," she said, honestly. "For a long while, I was sure that slow meant I'd end up alone in the yard while everyone else went home in pairs. But it turned out to be the reverse of that. All the holding back was never emptiness. It was choosing. I was waiting for the one grip worth locking three arms around and never opening again." She glanced down at her own arms, still crossed and wound tight out of pure habit. "And when I find it, I never once have to lie awake wondering whether it will last. I already know that it will." The girl was quiet. Nitra watched the frustration drain slowly out of her shoulders. The same way, years and years ago, the left-behind feeling had finally eased out from under a porch, until the girl let out a long breath she seemed to have been holding since morning, and something behind her ribs came loose and settled, warm and certain, like a held thing at last set gently down. Nitra didn't say the last part out loud, but she felt it move through her, steady and warm, all the way to the edge of her shell. That being slow to hold on had never once meant being broken. It only meant that when she finally took hold, she took hold for good. And that being held like that, and holding like that, was the safest and gladdest feeling she had ever known.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to NITRA. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.